So that a number of female MPs are stepping down in this forthcoming election because of the abuse they've had to endure and the mistreatment they have suffered. Well, we're going to explore how Jesus treats women and how they respond to him. And in our studies of women in the New Testament, we're going to look at the more obscure women, the ones that we might have overlooked. And so today we're going to look at the women in chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, who serve Jesus. And we're going to do so under three simple headings: grateful, equal, vital. Well, they serve Jesus because they are grateful. These women in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, they were with Jesus and serving him because of what he had done for them. So notice Luke chapter 8, after this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Jesus had treated them with loving compassion, healing them from evil spirits and diseases. Jesus understood the misery they suffered and brought sweet relief to them. The Roman Catholics have got it wrong, thinking that we need Mary to be compassionate. She is more understanding than Jesus. No, this passage reminds us that Jesus has a heart full of compassion to those in misery, by whatever means, whether it's through evil spirit, possession or disease and weakness. Jesus has a heart of compassion and mercy and pity and brings relief and release. And as a consequence, they're with Jesus. That's why they're here with him. That's why they're serving him, because of what Jesus has done for them. William Hendrickson, in his commentary, says, "Blessings that descend from heaven must be returned in the form of sincere and humble thanksgiving." And it's appropriate that it comes after the previous incident with that woman in Simon the Pharisee's house. She too was expressing her thankfulness to Jesus for the forgiveness of sins that she had already received. That's why she poured out that expensive perfume on his feet and showed such devotion to him, because she knew that she had been forgiven such a big debt. And so she expresses her gratitude to Jesus, as do these women. Hers was a single act of loving gratitude. For these women, it's a more sustained expression of their gratitude over a longer period. And because they were grateful, they were also sacrificial. It was no small thing to attach themselves to this itinerant rabbi. As Jesus, notice, he's going out from one town and village to another. And so they are following Jesus on this circuit of visiting and preaching and teaching. They attach themselves to him. And John Calvin picks up some of that, the sacrifice that they make. He says, "Those matrons being wealthy and of high rank," we notice that they all supported Jesus out of their own means. So they had some possessions of their own that they're able to use. And one of them certainly is the wife of one of the manager of Herod's household, someone of some rank. And that's why Calvin says that they were women who were wealthy and of high rank. It reflects higher commendation on their pious zeal that they supply Christ's expenses out of their own property, and not satisfied with doing so, they leave the care of their household affairs and choose to follow him, attended by reproaches and many other inconveniences, through various and uncertain habitations, instead of living quietly and at ease in their own houses. these women, they sacrifice a lot to go around with Jesus on this tour. Inconveniences going from place to place, no settled place of home, not in their own bed every night. They're willing to sacrifice for Jesus. We've heard, haven't we, some MPs saying this week they would perhaps not advise women to go into politics. Well, these women are willing to sacrifice for Jesus. They're willing to undergo hardship for the sake of Jesus because they are so grateful for what Jesus has done for them. They know that they're in debt to Jesus. And so they're willing and ready to serve him with gratitude. They were heartily grateful because of the loving compassion of Jesus towards them. They were heartily grateful, and it meant that they put themselves out in their gratitude because of the loving compassion of Jesus towards them. And surely they're a model for all of us here, aren't they? Think what Jesus has done for us. How my sins, though red as crimson, can be whiter than the snow. Jesus has done that for us, to bring us pardon from our sin and uncleanness. And Jesus promises us final and glorious release from all our misery by suffering it for us at the cross, enduring a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He suffered so that we might have ultimate release when he returns in glory to complete the salvation that he has begun for those who believe in him. These women were grateful. That's why they did what they did. And we should be grateful for what Jesus has done for us and copy their example in being willing to serve Jesus as we are able. They were grateful. But then also they were equal. And by that I mean that Jesus not only dealt with them with loving compassion, he also showed wonderful respect to them. They were welcomed into the intimate circle of disciples on an equal footing and treated as equal. Notice what we read there. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. This wasn't a group of general disciples who would often follow Jesus, crowds that the women were with. It was the 12. This was a select company, the select company of disciples. And these women were with him just as the 12 were. They were alongside the 12 with Jesus. The 12, the most honoured of disciples, the women share that honour equally with them in company with Jesus on this preaching tour. And we have to understand how that contrasts with the world in which this happens. So Donald Guthrie says, some comparison must be made between the attitude and teaching of Jesus and that of the Jewish world of his time. Judaism was certainly male-dominated and gave little respect to women. The distinction between men and women was so great that there was no provision in religious education or in worship for women to join with men on equal terms. And likewise, in the Greek world of that day, I read this week that as a young woman was growing up, intellectual intercourse with men was lacking entirely. So as a young woman was growing up in the Greek world, she would have no intellectual discussion with men. She was excluded from that. And likewise, once she was married, a wife did not share the intellectual life of her husband. It was beneath her. It was above her, rather, as they were concerned. The contrast with Jesus. These women are brought into his company to be taught alongside those 12 apostles. And we see that a couple of chapters later when Jesus is at the home of Martha and Mary in chapter 10, at the end of chapter 10. It says in chapter 10 and verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Here is Mary amongst that group of disciples at Jesus' feet, listening and learning, being taught on equal rank with the men in that company, and Jesus forbidding that she be taken from that to go to the kitchen and help. No, the more important thing is to sit there with Jesus. And because Jesus treated them with such respect, they remained loyal to him. So we read of these women in Luke chapter 8, and they appear again in Luke chapter 23. Luke 23 and verse 49, this is at the conclusion of the crucifixion. Luke 23 verse 48 says, when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Verse 55 of Luke 23, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then we're told over the page in Luke 24, verse 9, that they go to the tomb. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, there are two of the women in our passage, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. They remained loyal to Jesus because he treated them with respect. There was no need for these women to start a Me Too hashtag movement, because Jesus treated them with respect. And when women and females are abused in the church, that is a disgrace and an evil. It has no part, as Jesus treats these women with utter respect and dignity, treating them as equals with his male followers so that they learn with them. Men and women are equal as disciples of Jesus. We will add equal but different. The women were not among the 12. Jesus didn't choose any women to be among the 12. They're alongside the 12, they're with the 12, but they're not among the 12. They're equal but different. It's feminism that says that equal means the same. But the Bible teaches you can be equal but different. Equal value, different roles. And so, yeah, we'd be very happy for there to be a women's rugby team. No problem with that. But I don't think women would want to have played in that game yesterday. I don't think many of them would have lasted. Men and women aren't the same. It's a biological nonsense to suggest it is. Men and women aren't the same. Jesus treats them equally, gives them equal value, but they have different roles, different responsibilities, different positions. But the important thing here is the equality, that these women are alongside the 12 in that elite group, taught by Jesus, learning from Jesus, with Jesus. So the women are grateful, that's why they're there. They're treated with equality by Jesus. And then their ministry is vital that they are engaged in. The ministry that they engaged in serving Jesus was a vital ministry. The NIV, I think, perhaps could be open to misunderstanding. It says these women were helping to support them. Could suggest that there were other people helping to support them, and these women were some who were helping, whereas it literally says they served or ministered to them from their own belongings. This is the only source of support explicitly mentioned in the Gospels. This is the only source of support for Jesus that Jesus received that's explicitly mentioned in the Gospels. There's no reference to any other support that's given to him. It's these women who are supporting Jesus and the disciples on this ministry. And this support was again maintained until the very end of his ministry. So in Matthew chapter 27, and verse 55, again, this is at the conclusion to the crucifixion. Matthew tells us, Matthew 27 and 55, many women who were there watching from a distance, they had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. When he went to Jerusalem, they'd followed him to care for his needs in Jerusalem as well. And so they continued this support ministry right through his life. What did they do? Well, on this itinerant ministry, they would need accommodation as they went from town to town and village to village. Accommodation would need to be sorted out. Food would need to be provided. The possibility of organizing meeting places, if it was perhaps much was done in the open air. Perhaps there weren't such access to synagogues now as tension begins to build with the Jewish authorities. So occasionally they may have had to sort out meeting places, maybe even clothing occasionally for this apostolic band with Jesus. It was practical provision that they made that enabled this ministry to continue. Without it, Jesus couldn't have gone from town to town and village to village. And this vital ministry, this vital support, it comes in different shapes. And we were reminded of that, weren't we, in that MAF video. Did you see all the different roles that people were doing? He mentioned it at the beginning. If someone came up to you in heaven and said, thank you, well, what did I do? Well, you organised fuel to be put in the plane that enabled me to support. And they had those who were doing training. We had a pilot. We had those in other roles. Education, someone who was going to go out and help with education. All those different roles enabled ministry to continue. And so it is today. Vital ministry comes in different shapes and it involves different work. That's the very thing that Paul says when he's speaking about this to the Corinthians. You remember in 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, reading from verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And if there are many parts, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So there is this vital ministry that goes on at all levels in order to support the preaching of the gospel that Jesus is engaged in. And these women illustrate that for us. Not suggesting that women have to do the hospitality, they have to be in charge of the hospitality ministry and nothing else. This is what these women did. But there are other roles and functions and duties that we need to share in order to see the church function and the cause of Christ progress. But again, as we were reminded on the MAF video, all service must be driven by love. Remember that was on his pen. All service must be driven by love. That's why these women did what they did, because Jesus loved them enough to bring relief to them from their misery. And so now they love Jesus. All that thrilled their souls was Jesus. He was the fairest of 10,000. He was more than life to them. And so they were willing out of love for Jesus. As Paul says in Corinthians, Christ's love compels us. And so in our service, whatever role we take, whatever ministry we engage in, it's got to be from love. If it's not from love, as Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 13, then it's worthless. It's nothing. It's nothing if it's not compelled by love, driven by love. So these women, we're told just the names of three of them, Mary, Joanna, who again appears at the end of Luke's Gospel, and Susanna, only mentioned here, and these other women who are anonymous. But here they are, playing a vital role, serving Jesus, supporting him in his ministry, out of love for Jesus, and being treated with such compassion initially, and respect, and honour as they play this role. So have you come to Christ in your misery? Whatever it might be, these women, some were afflicted by evil spirits, Mary Magdalene by seven demons. Some of them were afflicted by illness. Literally the word speaks of feebleness or weakness. But whatever is the cause of your misery, if you come to Jesus, he's got a heart of compassion. And he's got the power to bring relief to you in your misery. He's got grace for you, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, whatever is causing you sadness and sorrow. Jesus has got power to bring relief and release. And he promises a final and full release on that day when he returns to make a new heavens and a new earth where there's no more sorrow or pain or death, no more tears. Have you come to Jesus, the Lord of compassion? And if you have, are you serving him with loving gratitude? Are you doing all you can for Jesus with the gifts he's given you? Again, as we were reminded on that MAF video, different gifts, different abilities, different things that we can do. Are you serving Jesus with loving gratitude for what he's done for you? That's what these women compel us to do. What an example they set. Are you following their example because of all that Jesus has done for you? Let's pray. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing those words of Francis Ridley Havergal, 850 if we're using the hymn book, Take My Life. It's a slightly updated version, so concentrate on the words. They might not be the ones you're familiar with, but they're important, great words of consecration.